Well, amen. Let's turn in our Bibles tonight to the book of Proverbs. Amen. Proverbs chapter 20. I'd say the 20th Psalm, but I think it's chapter Proverbs. Yeah, anyhow. It is chapter. Yeah. Psalms don't have chapters. They're just Psalms. They're Psalms. And Proverbs actually are chapters, so... I do get confused sometimes, and I'm explaining that for me. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 4. Bible says, the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore, shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. Wow. So we're going to look at that tonight. Proverbs often exposes wisdom by observing ordinary life. This is kind of how Proverbs does. It's not this deep theological things. It's actually looking at very practical things. And this is Solomon teaching his son. That's our passing on wisdom. This is going to be a lifelong Wednesday night series. How long is it going to take to get to every proverb? We will find out. Amen. That's what we're going to be doing Wednesday nights. I love it. I don't know if you do. It's helpful to me. It's just, I mean, wisdom is good stuff. Amen. Solomon uses now a farming illustration that would have been understood immediately. Okay, we got to think about it. The world has been mostly agricultural for most of society. Right? It's only been industrial for the past... I don't know, maybe a couple hundred years, really. Before that, it's been primarily agricultural. And even still, a couple hundred years ago, it was still very agricultural and so forth. So here's a couple things that would have been understood immediately. There's work that must be done. And there's always reason to delay doing it. Right? Right? But this proverb really isn't about farming at all, is it? It's about obedience when conditions are uncomfortable. Okay, number one, work often begins in uncomfortable conditions. Man, I think it's so. I had already had this, been working on this before Sunday. But I think it's interesting here when we think about verse 4, the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Man, I'm thinking about that cold. I don't know if I'd ever leave the house. 40 below? I don't know. I wouldn't want to leave my blanket. So the problem is not... here's the thing. A... the problem is not the inability to plow. Okay, because, by the way, here isn't talking about Arctic Circle cold. This is Middle East cold, right? Different situation. Number one under that, he can plow, but he simply chooses not to. Okay, we find there's a choice. And number two, nothing prevents the work except discomfort. Discomfort. Has discomfort ever stopped you from doing what you ought to be doing? Duh, yeah. I mean, I don't want to say I hate the cold, but just one step below that, right? So when it's cold, you go outside in the cold and you do something and you bump your hand. Ah, man, I'm ready to cry. You know what I'm saying? In the heat, you go out there, you bump your head. I was doing stuff Tuesday, the day off. I was doing some more work. I got cuts all over my hand in the heat. I don't care. I'm good. Blood, bust up knuckles, I'm all right with that. In the cold, I'm ready to quit. You know what I'm saying? So listen, but sometimes something needs to be done. Look here, B. The excuse sounds reasonable, doesn't it? Sounds reasonable. It's cold outside. Don't want to mess with that. Number one, cold weather is, it's real, right? We experienced a little of that this winter here in Florida. For Florida, I mean, this is pretty, I don't know if it's record-breaking, but it's in that line. And the plowing is hard because the soil is resistant. Okay? But number two, the proverb exposes something important for us. A, the issue is not the circumstances. It is unwillingness. Unwillingness. It's not the circumstances. Circumstances are always going to be there, folks. Good excuses are always going to be available. Right? Good ones. If there's anything humanity is good at, finding the excuses. And some of them are really good. And you know what I'm saying. We're good at coming up with them. And somebody will come up and give you an excuse, and you're like, okay, right? And you're giving it. When you're the one giving it, it is so, I mean, we sell it, right? I'm tired, sick, this thing happened. I had this going on. I had this. Well, what else was I going to do? We sell an excuse, right? Whew, we're good at that. We're not good at buying them, are we? Somebody telling you an excuse, you're like, you know, we're trying to figure out the line of grace and judgment. Oh, man, we're good at this thing. So, listen, here's the thing, though. Here's the point of this. The proverb, it's not about the circumstances. It's about the unwillingness. The heart really has a lot to do with all this stuff, isn't it? B, the sluggard waits for ideal conditions. Let me tell you about the ideal conditions. They rarely ever happen, right? And you're out there for a little bit. You're like, oh, man, this is the ideal situation. And then it rains. Right? You're like, nobody called for rain. And so, you know, anyway, I'm just saying the sluggard is waiting for really the kind of conditions that he really hopes doesn't come. Because there's an unwillingness to do it in the first place. C, the wise recognize timing. Timing. Okay? So number one, plowing must happen, what's that word, before a harvest will be possible, right? So the wise understand there's a timing issue here, right? There's a timing issue here. The plowing has to be done before you're going to get the harvest. So, A, under that, there is a window for obedience, is what we're talking about here. There's this window. It has to be. As a matter of fact, when we're talking about agriculturally, we're talking about farming, that window of opportunity is pretty important, right? Matter of fact, on both ends of it, if I could say that, not only the plowing, but also the harvesting. And you know, we've been in some agricultural areas, and I've done a little gardening. Right? Years ago, I don't really like it. Tried to grow some banana trees, they all died. Man, it's sad. Man, poor banana trees. I didn't know I should have watered them. I'm not good at it. Okay. So here's the thing. There's a window of opportunity to do the plowing when it's the right time, and then there's that window of for obedience on the other side. Look here. To delay today affects the harvest tomorrow. Okay? But maybe I should say it this way, in according to this proverb. Being a sluggard or slothful or lazy now, putting it off for later, will miss the opportunity that we will absolutely want in the future. I like a harvest. I like a harvest of growth. I like a harvest of when I did garden, when I first moved to Iowa. We're in a small town farming community. I said, we should grow some stuff. We never growed stuff. Never growed it at all, right? I use those words to bother our teacher here. Chris is like, it's funny. Kayla's like, did you say something wrong? No, I'm kidding. And so we have this, so we started doing some gardening. I thought this is going to be, and so we almost threw them away because I thought, and then all of a sudden they started growing, and then I found out I could go out there and get food for free. It's pretty exciting. You know what I love? I love the harvest. We grew so much. We had so many tomatoes. We're giving them away to anybody that would, like, look at, you want a tomato? Well, maybe, oh, here's your bucket. You know what I'm saying? We just had, it was so exciting. And so, you know, the harvest is great. But to be a slugger, to be slothful, to be lazy, that's what the word slugger means, slothful, slow, lazy, and not getting to it, and delaying, putting it off. Putting it off now means I'm not going to get it later. By the way, we know this is a spiritual application, right? Okay, it's not just about groceries. Okay? When we put off, let me go on the other side. We want to harvest the salvation of our loved ones. I'm using that word harvest to keep this. We want to see our loved ones, our family, our friends, our neighbors, whoever, we want to see them trust Christ and have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? That's why we put their names on our list. That's why we talk about them. That's why we try to. But when we are a sluggard and getting the truth to them or living it out in front of them, when we do that on this side, I promise you, we're going to want that over there. But often we put it off over here because it's uncomfortable. Look here, number two. Some work cannot be postponed without consequences. It can't be postponed without consequences. Sometimes that window of opportunity is there and gone. When I mean that window of opportunity, I mean sometimes now is the time to share the gospel with somebody. Right now, maybe this is the only time. You're like, well, it doesn't work like that. Oh, don't tell me what it does. I don't know it does or does or doesn't. Well, right here you say, well, this is the time to make that decision for Christ. If I don't make it now, I'll make it later. I know a lot of people that were waiting to make a decision and later never came. God, listen, some work cannot be postponed without consequences. Number two, Roman numeral two. Refusing present obedience produces future loss. Okay, again, verse four. The sluggard will plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. A, the harvest reveals our earlier choices. We might say this way. I don't know if you've heard this phrase before. You reap what you sow. Reaping time manifests what you sowed. No. I don't just mean good stuff. Right? Could imagine going to a... How many have ever planted stuff from seed? How many ever? Yeah, most of y'all have. You go and did you ever buy them at the grocery store kind of thing? Or the hardware store or something like that? Y'all did that? We did that one time. Did we do it two times? She did it twice. Okay, anyway. So you do that, you know, you rip it open. We did this little thing, this little greenhouse. They had these little things, discs. I don't know what they were. You put them in there, you put the seed and put that in, you put it in there. We left it in. We'd never grown anything before. Put it out there on the patio and in the screen room and it sat there and sat there and sat there. It sat there so long I forgot about it. It was over there in the corner. We had kids running around. We didn't have time to pay attention to all that stuff. You know, it's over. All of a sudden one day I'm like, let's just throw that. I said, I'm going to throw it away. It didn't work. And so I thought, let's just, you know, whatever. Let's throw it away. And I was lazy. I was a sluggard. I didn't throw. I'm going to get to that later. You know what happened? I was about to go. You know what happened? A little knuckle came up, like this green little. Something was happening in there. It popped up that mouth. I'm like, woo, I'm glad I waited. And those things popped up. So we went and tilled up a whole patch of ground. I mean, we had a big, there's a bunch of stuff. I think we had 12 cucumber plants. 16 tomato plants. I didn't know how much tomatoes growed on a tomato plant. Or cucumber. Oh, man, it was crazy. It was awesome. We had a bumper crop. This piece of, anyway, I'm telling you, it gets exciting. But you know what happens? But imagine having a package of seeds that you open up and it had no label on it. And it's, you grow it, you put it in there, and you wait to find out, I wonder what's going to come up. It'd be kind of exciting because, you know, you're getting good stuff. Can I tell you what? Sometimes this is how people live their lives. It's what they put in their kids. It's what they put in the people around them. It's what they do. Hey, listen, it's almost like an unlabeled seed. We're going to just see what happens here. And I'm going to tell you, when it comes harvest time, it's going to reveal what you sowed in your life. It's going to, man, good or bad. Good or bad. Listen, the harvest reveals our earlier choices. But here's the thing, though. Number one, harvest does not create results. It exposes the preparation. So it's not, well, man, all of a sudden when it comes harvest time, we think, right, y'all with me? We think this is where we blew it. But it was back at the... That's what this proverb is teaching us here. It was back there. What it revealed to us is that our preparation was bad. Wasn't what... Number two, the empty field was decided months earlier when the choice to labor was required. We put it off then, and you find out later, man, don't you always wish you'd have done something? I mean, not always, but I mean a lot of times. When it comes harvest time, when it comes time for when you wanted something to be different, you wish, I wish I'd have done it better. You know what we do a lot of times, though? We just live off wishes. I wish I'd have done different over here. You know, we've all been there, right? You know what really stinks? Is when we just keep living there. You know what? There's some things in my life I wish I'd have done different. Amen. Things in my life. But you know, once I realize that, it's time to start preparing for the next harvest. The ship has sailed. No, there's another ship, though. That's the good thing. Amen. Aren't you glad for that? Now listen. I've missed. There's some things that not working today. There's consequences. Now this harvest is done. Sorry, but there's another harvest that could be done. So let's do something. That's kind of what I want to say right there. Look here. B. This tragedy was a preventable loss. Number one, here's the thing. He is not surprised by famine because he caused it. A, it, not by his rebellion. We're not talking about rebellion here, but by his neglect. By his neglect. It's not that he was a rebellious cuss. You know what happens sometimes? We see people really doing all the right stuff. Kinda. Not what, and when I mean the right stuff, they're not rebelling, they're not causing trouble, they're not doing all this, they're in their place, but the fact is, they're neglecting all that, maybe what God has set before them. So, sometimes what God wants to do is give you an opportunity. He wants to put it right there in front of you, so God said, here's what I want you to do. We look that thing in the face and say, I'll do that, Lord, as soon as. We have, by the way, that as soon as, the next blank is whatever excuse we want to put in. Because here's, we might just put man-made excuse, because as soon as the one fixes, we'll put another one right in that place. I've watched it, folks. When we put off what God wants us to do, and we have a good excuse. No, good excuse right now. in our circumstances. What we do is, as soon as God takes care of that circumstance, we put another excuse in its place. And then we make a habit. We get pretty good at just putting another excuse in that place. That's why we can't do it. And then what we do is we push that thing. We miss a harvest, miss a harvest, miss a harvest. And we actually make a habit of that. And so we just keep wishing I would have done different. I'm just saying, we've all lived there a little bit, right? It's not by rebellion, but by neglect. B, opportunities were missed because action was delayed. It was delayed. So C, Proverbs constantly teaches us cause and effect. We find that almost every week we talk about these things. Number one, comfort chosen now creates need later. Right? Why do today what I can put off till tomorrow? Isn't that how it goes? No, I think it's supposed to go the other way. Anyway. Number two, wisdom acts early, but the sluggard waits for a better opportunity. To see that? A better opportunity. Not only better, but really easier. And easier. Which ultimately becomes unattainable, because here's what ends up happening. We keep waiting for this great situation that almost we keep kicking the can down the road until it's so easy that we can't even, it's unattainable now. Right? Now what we want is something that's unrealistic. Number three, Roman numeral three. The principle applied to living by God's word is really this. A, God often calls his people to act before conditions are ideal. Number one, that's called what? Faith. It's called faith. To act now, to act when conditions are not ideal. When it's ideal, it's not really faith. Right? God wants to put us in a place of faith. Number two, obedience rarely waits for convenience. Obedience rarely waits for convenience. No, obedience says, God said it, I'm going to do it. The sluggard says, I'm going to wait for a better situation. You know, I have a friend. He's still my friend, I think. He was last week or so. He was in the Air Force, and he was, I think he was at 17 years in the Air Force, and things at home weren't going good. He was a flyer, he was gone a lot, and things weren't, it wasn't going good at home, and to the point of maybe risking losing his home. I mean, losing his family, and so he got out of the Air Force at 17 years. And you know what that means? To get out at 20 years is retirement. At 70 years is donut. Nothing. People thought he was crazy. He had just made it to where he could sew on tech sergeant. And he said, nope, getting out. Man, that was dumb. That was inconvenient to the world. Right? But he said, I got to do. Obedience rarely waits for convenience. Most people, you know what they want to do? As soon as I get in a comfortable situation, financially or whatever, or my kids are grown or this, whatever, then I'll serve the Lord. Then all. It's hard. I mean, listen, obedience rarely waits for convenience. Matter of fact, I think God sets it up that way. Three, there's always a reason to delay. Finances feel tight. Schedules feel full. Uncertainty feels risky, right? You know, folks, I'd love it if the whole truth tonight is I'm just talking about you. Wouldn't that be better? But the fact is, we're all in this same flesh. Right? We all got to deal with these things, and we've all been there. And I'm telling you, there's time. I mean, there's obviously some times that I didn't delay, but there's also some times that I have. And can I tell you, there's always regret waiting for convenience. B, revealed truth calls for action, not perfect conditions. So, look, living by God's word means obedience even when it costs our own comfort. Are you willing to do that? To obey even when it costs us comfort. Amen, I would. Well, that's good, because that brings us to point Roman number 4. Missions and faith promise application. Amen. A, one clear area where this principle appears is in missions. Didn't know that was coming, did you? So, number 1, the gospel must move forward before conditions feel perfect. We're never going to... Listen. Number 2, no church ever reaches a moment where money is unlimited, or needs are gone, or risks disappear. But no church is like that. By the way, none of our lives are like that. Nobody's life is like that. I'm trying to think, man, I just read about this family. Oh, man, if I said the name, you would know it. Is it Vanderbilt? Barry was the richest family in the country. And I think that's, I can't remember, but yeah, I think that's, anyway. And in like 2 generations, they were broke, lost everything. Is that the right ones? Yeah. And all, everything's, you're like, wow, they are the rich. They were the richest family in the world. Could you imagine the Waltons going broke like that? I don't mean the Waltons, and like the Sam Walton. I don't think they had much money back then. No, I'm talking, they are the richest family on the planet. You know, Walmart makes $1.2 billion in sales every day. Could you imagine them being broke within a generation? So, number 3. Faith promise missions giving is, in many ways, plowing in the cold. It's plowing in the cold is what it is. We act in obedience now, trusting God with the harvest later. Okay, that's what it is. We're doing this now, trusting God that later there's going to be a harvest. B, this is the faith part of faith promise missions giving. Right? It's, listen, the joy of the harvest most often belongs to those willing to obey before comfort arrives. Right? You know when I'm mostly stirred, honestly? There's 2 times, but in this kind of area. But one is when I see somebody else harvesting. Right? Let me give you an example. When I see this guy that's got big muscles and he's kind of, it encourages me to want to go to the gym. I mean, not that I do that, but it makes me, man, I bet if I went there, I could go do that too. But you know how much work somebody has to do to build up some muscle? You got to do that before the after picture. That's why these guys want to run around with like sleeveless shirt, because they work for it. You know, they got these muscles. They want to have these, you know, they walk around like this. And they look kind of freakish, but, you know, there's a point that they get going and like now, and then they want to walk. They're always kind of walking around kind of pumped because they want to, you know why? Because they work for it. They want you to see their harvest, right? I'm not saying it's okay or not. I'm just, that's the truth. But when I see somebody effective at something for the Lord, it stirs me to want to also be effective for the Lord. The harvest stirs us, but I'm telling you, the ones that really harvest are the ones that were willing to obey God when it wasn't comfortable. That's faith. So this proverb teaches the simple truth. It's just this. Waiting for ideal conditions often means missing necessary obedience. Waiting for the right conditions. The wise man plows when it's cold. Because he knows, he understands, harvest is coming. The harvest is coming. So, when God's people live according to His Word, even when inconvenient, they participate in a future harvest that they haven't yet seen. When we obey God now, there's a harvest over there. And I'm going to tell you what, how many of you have ever plowed? Tilled, maybe. You ever till? I had a tiller. When we first, this little garden, it was ground head. All we had, I didn't know there was other things. That's how green I was. I wasn't green, but, you know, I wish I was greener. But all we had was this. We got it at a garage sale probably for like $2. A hand tiller. Blisters, pain, back and forth. I didn't know. And then later on, I'm like, I could have rented something for like 15. I don't know how much. I could have rented something. This is, you know, 20 years ago. I could have rented something. Man, it would have been a lot. I didn't have any money. And probably that's the only thing I could do. But I'll tell you, it's a lot of work. A lot of work. And then when you're done, it's not like you, okay, I did it. Now, there's more work along the way. Listen, trusting God over here is knowing that there's some decisions now, some things along the way. But I'm telling you, the harvest is so sweet. And the lack of it is so sour. There's joy. There's joy in the harvest. We will respond to God now. Father, I pray that You'd help us with this truth tonight. And Lord, the Proverbs are just so practical. And Lord, it's where we all live. And we've all experienced these things. And so, Lord, I pray as we think about this thing, is it relates to missions, that, Lord, You would stir our hearts and Lord, so many other areas in our life that it deals with. But Lord, I pray that You'd help us and Lord, that we would be willing to obey when it's uncomfortable. Lord, maybe tonight there's something that You've laid on someone's heart tonight, and maybe several people, Lord, You have pricked their heart in some specific areas. Lord, I trust that You would give them the courage, to the wisdom, to respond to You and trust You and obey. And Lord, that the harvest would come. Lord, we'll thank You for it now. We'll praise You for Your goodness to us now. In Jesus' name.